How are y'all doing? Great. It's good to be back here at Mimosa Lane Baptist Church. Always feels like home when I come back here. Last week I was in Houston, and then before that I was up by Amarillo doing a Disciple Now, and I was told my wife it's always good to be home locally speaking. And so my wife is singing this morning in choir. She hears my messages all the time. And she said, you go ahead, and I'm going to go sing in the choir. And, you know, she's never rededicated her life of all the times I've been preaching. So I try to keep her coming to hear me, and she just says, nope, I'm going to go to my church. So if you've got your Bible with you, turn with me to Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. I want to talk to you this morning on seeing Christ in the storm. I know many of us in this life go through storms in life that we cannot control. I once heard that we're either going into a storm, or we're in the middle of a storm, or we're coming out of the storm. Billy Graham once said that God can use fear that grips the hearts of men today to point them to eternal truths. In Matthew chapter 14, in verse 22, this is the story of Peter walking on the water. His faith is stretched as they are out in the middle of the sea. They are struggling because of the wind and the crashing of the waves. And it also speaks to us that are going through the trials this morning, that we feel like that we are being battered by the waves and the crashing of the waves and the storms in our life. In Matthew 14 and verse 22, it says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of Jesus to the other side. While Jesus sent the crowds away, after he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he had came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter said to the Lord, he said, "If it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, Peter became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of Peter. And he said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind stopped, and those who were in the boat worshipped him. Storms are sent for a season, not to see where Christ sees us in our faith, but it is a reminder of where we are, so that we know where we need to grow in Christ. Our lack of faith in Christ revealed the effects in our lives because of the storm. We are living in a time where our world, where we need to rely on Christ's unshakable faith with the way the world is at the present time. Storms are designed to prepare us to walk closer to Christ. You know, when storms come, we're either going to be driven to our knees and pray, or we're going to run the other way and look to the things of this world in our fears. You and I do not hold on to Christ in the storm. We will be blown away by the time the storm is over. Peter's faith was anchored in Christ as long as he kept his eyes on the Lord. But as soon as he took his eyes off the Lord, that is when his fear took him down. When we magnify our storms bigger than our God, our fear takes us down and we will sink every single time. To the human eye, the safest place was remaining in the boat where cured and safe. But in reality, sometimes it is for outside of the boat when Christ is near, you're depending upon Him because He will protect you. As long as you're remaining in the presence of your Savior out of the boat, you're going to be secured in His grace. Peter's faith and love to the Lord took him where most Christians don't want to go. Many of us today, Christ has asked us to step out of the boat and trust Him. And if we knew what our fear holds, many of us would be like the men in the Bible, remained in the boat where it was safe. If you knew the journey where God had it for you, you would say, no, there's no way I'm going to do that. Are you willing this morning to leave the comfort zone of your circumstances to get to the boat and trust Christ as He delivers you in your present circumstances? The difference between fear and faith is focus. Who are you focused on this morning? Are you focused on the problems that surround you? Or are you focused upon the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Where is your faith anchored in this morning? As Peter got out of that boat that night, the other people, the disciples of that boat, were probably thinking to themselves, Peter, are you crazy? Don't you know what is happening? You could die. But Peter had an incredible faith. He knew that Christ would be there. And if he would sink, Christ would lift him on solid ground. In this solid water, he would pick him up. All Christ said to Peter was one word, come. And when God only has to speak one word and something supernatural happens, and we can do the impossible, as God speaks from His mouth, when there is power in His word, there is life in His word, and He said, come. And Peter did something that no other person has been able to. He walked on water. Peter didn't get out of the boat to show off. Peter was a hothead. He liked to boast. He always putting his foot in his mouth. That's why I like Peter. But this wasn't the time that Peter was telling the disciples, hey, watch this. I bet you can't do this. No, Peter just wanted to be close to Christ. How many of us this morning going through the storms of life just want to be where Jesus is? How many of us just want to be close to Christ? We find security and the peace that we have been searching for. That night, as he stepped out of the boat, started to walk upon his fear. Christ is wanting us to do that morning, wanting us to get out of the boat and start walking upon our fears and keep our eyes focused upon Christ. You know, many of us in the natural, we struggle with fear, especially when we get the pink slip from work, especially when we get that call from the doctor and says your results have come back. Many of us begin to fear when we get the phone call that a loved one is on their deathbed. But we know where our security and our faith is. And God does not allow anything to come through your life and in your life if because it goes directly through His hands. He is aware of everything. He works everything out for His for the purpose of our good and His good. He will deliver you But sometimes as a Christian, we have to go through hard times. The Bible says, Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And in this situation, when Peter began to sink, Jesus said, don't worry. If I can overcome the world, I can rescue you in your trial and in your storm. You know, there are many statistics that talk about fear and what we fear out. And 90% of what we fear never come to pass. But, or 92%. The 8% are usually things that we will encounter. But let me just tell you, that 8% that we encounter is already matched up with God's grace and God's love. Just last week, I got a call from my best friend's wife that lives in Houston. She called me that morning at 7 o'clock, and she called me from my friend Brian's cell phone. And I'm thinking, hey, is Brian calling me this early? He knows I'm not a morning person. I don't get up until 1 or, I mean, I don't function until 1 or 2, so I'm asleep right now, especially with the time change. But I got a call from Brian's wife, and I will never forget this phone call. As I picked up the phone, I heard his wife start screaming into the phone hysterically. And she said, Brian is not breathing. Brian is not breathing. And you talk about a storm. Not knowing what's going on in Brian's life, what had caused this. And sometimes when situations like that happen, you don't know what to say. All you can say is that I'm praying and I love you. Don't try to figure it out. Don't tell them that all things work together. Because in that instant, they need to know Jesus is in control. As she hung up, I started interceding and I started praying. And I said, God, please allow him live. Breathe life into his lungs, Lord. I've never prayed so hard within that time, in that morning. 30 minutes later, I got a phone call, wife, again, crying uncontrollably. And she said 3 words, Brian is dead, Brian is dead, Brian is dead. And all of a sudden, what seemed like was going to be a great morning ended up being the worst nightmare of my life. We were best friends for 26 years. Brian had a massive heart attack at the age of 45, the same age as me. That happened on a Tuesday, and on that Friday, my wife and I went to Houston, and his family asked me if I speak at the funeral. And I'm thinking, God, you're going to have to help me. And so I got up there that night, and I just spoke about what Brian meant to me and about his relationship with the Lord. And then I told 2 stories that were funny. What I remembered Brian and his joy for the Lord. And then I quote the scripture, every time I think of you, I give thanks to the Lord. Sometimes we have to when we hear people are going through hard times, is just say, when I think of you, I'm praying for you. I thank God for you, I'm praying for you, I'm interceding for you. Now Brian's wife, at the age of 37, widow. And you ask the question, why God? Why has this happened? Did I question God? Absolutely. But he can take it. Come to realize through this storm that it's not in the knowing that is the most important part. It is trusting in his will and his plan. It trusting Him. Because sometimes on this side of heaven, we will not know the answers. We will not know the answers to our problems and to the storms that we encounter. But we need to trust Him that God is in control. As you and I learn to surrender to the storms in our life, it can teach us three life principles that we are experiencing as the violent winds come, crashing of the waves come upon our lives. The first life principle is when you start to drift away in the storm, Christ is aware of where you are. In the Bible, in verse 23 and 24, it talks of that Jesus was on top of the mountain praying. He had just heard the news that John the Baptist had been beheaded. And then it says that he went to be alone. But as he went off to be alone, all the people where he went, they started to follow him. And so he started to minister to them until 5 or 6 o'clock evening. As he fed them a loaf of bread and and he fed all these people. It was a miraculous provision. And so after he sent them away, he went back up unto them to pray. And sometimes we need to get alone. And we need to get on top of our mountain and just start praying to the Lord and cry out to Him. At 5, 6 o'clock that evening, the boys got in the boat and started going to the other side. It was miles, and around mile 3, the storm came. Now, Jesus is the one in the first place that compelled them to go. And sometimes God will compel us to go knowing what's ahead of us because He wants us to depend upon Him, and it will strengthen our faith. And when we come out on the other side, we'll be thankful for what God has taught us in the storm. Christians think that God would never send them in the eye storm. But my friends, Jesus did not promise an easy life. We live in a world, there are problems, there's sin running rampant. And as the body of Christ, as we go through the hard times, and we, our faith in Christ, it is a testimony to those around us that are lost spiritually, that God still reigns, that our faith is sunk, that we know who our faith is anchored in. The first time the disciples were in this situation, Jesus was on the boat sleeping. This time, He's on dry land, He's praying. This, however, the Son of God, As the men were heading out and they were in the middle of the sea, the storms and the waves were coming down and they were in the big storm of their life. Now these fishermen were used to being in these kind of situations. But I think God turned it up just a little bit. And this time, Jesus began to be on that mountain, and He began saying, Lord, teach them. God, teach them on what you want to learn. There is no this morning in life that God doesn't know about. You walked into this church, heavy burden and trials and tribulations that are upon your shoulders. Jesus knew what you were going through. But my prayer this morning is that either God will deliver you from this trial, or He will give you the grace to endure as He takes you to the other side, like He did these disciples. As a Christian, You need to understand fear cannot live continuously someone who is committed to prayer. Fear cannot control you because faith drives out, love drives out perfect fear. And so many times we bow down to fear instead of God. But my friends, fear is not your God. Christ is. Christ has power over your fear. Christ has power over your storm in your life. And many times we try to go into storms, when we go into the storms like these disciples were, it says that the was contrary. That means they were, instead of forward, they were heading back. And a lot of times we can handle things in our own strength. And when we begin to think that we can handle stuff in our own strength, we realize how weak we are. But as we allow God to take, we know how strong Christ is and how strong He can be in our lives. The second life principle that I want to show you this morning in verse 25 through 27 is that when you are in darkest hour, Christ shows up to bring peace to our fears. In verse 25 through 27, it says, in the fourth watch of the night, which is between 3 and 6 a.m., He came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost." They cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Christ is telling us this morning, don't be afraid. And you think to yourself, "Lance, you don't know what I'm going through." That's easier said than done. Let me tell you that I've been in the darkest hour of my life at the age of 20 when I would take my own life. That is in the darkest hour. That is between 3 and 6 a.m. that was in my life. And when I cried out to Christ, Jesus was to pick me up and tell that He loves me and that He has a plan for my life. You have a choice this morning to be a victim of your circumstances, to be a fear of the things that are going around, where you have a choice to victory over your life and over your problems in your life this morning. My friends, Christ will never leave you. Even though this morning you feel like you're all alone, is the enemy telling you that you're alone in the situation, that God does not care? And if God cared, he'd be allowing you to go through this. And let me just tell you, Christ is closer than you think that He is. Because when you accept Christ into your life, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. And wherever you go, Christ is there. The Holy Spirit is there to lead you into all truth and to deliver you or give you the grace to go through your storm. There was a father who, a father and the son that was coming back from the funeral of the father's wife. The little boy was 5 years old, lost his mom. The dad thinking to himself, "What am I going to do?" As they got home that evening, the father tucked his son into his bed, and said a prayer with him. After he turned around and turned the lights off, he went into his bedroom and got ready for bed, and he was laying there, and it was 5 minutes later that he heard a knock on his door. It was the little boy. He peeked his head in, and he said, "Daddy, so sad. Can I come and sleep with you tonight?" And the father said, "Yes, son, come in. Let me tuck you in beside me." As they were laying there that night, that little boy looked at his father in pitch darkness. And he said, "Daddy, are you there?" And his dad cried out, "Son, I am there." After the little boy fell asleep, father got up and went over to the window and he pulled back the curtain, looked up, and he said, "Daddy, are you there? I need you. I need you to help me because I'm scared. And I need you to help me raise my son without a mother. But I choose my faith in you." And many of us this morning need to go to the window of lives and pull back the curtains and look up at God and say, "Heavenly Father, are you there?" And see that God will meet you at your need. As you cry out in desperation, Christ will be there to pick you up and to set you on solid ground. The third life principle this morning is that when willing to face your fear, Christ will help you if you fall. In verse 28 through 33, I'm not going to read it right now, but in verse 28 through 30, as Peter stepped out of that boat and he started walking toward Jesus, his faith was so strong because he kept his eyes on Christ. But as soon as he took his eyes off of Christ, bam! He fell. Of us, when we start out, we think, "I can do this. I can do this." You start praying, you start reading your Bible, and then all of a sudden, it only takes 5 minutes of fear to make you sink, thinking that God's not there. Where is God? But my friends, when we fall and we feel like we're going under, it's when Christ shows up between 3 and 6 a.m. of your life, the darkest hour of your life. That's when Christ shows up. It is not enough to be close to Jesus, but you must trust him. Judas was near Jesus. But we know what Judas, the end of his life, happened to him. He refused to put his faith in Christ as he began to go under the water. It's because his faith was never anchored in Christ, but in things of this world. But Peter, he started out placing his faith in Christ. He knew his faith was anchored in. Even though he began to sink, he cried out the shortest prayer in the Bible, "Lord, save me." Many times as we're going through the trials of our life, we think that we have to come up with some fancy words and pray an hour for God to deliver us. But my friends, as this tells us, if we pray with faith and earnestly, all we have to do is say, "Lord, save me." God will be with you to deliver you. Christ did not rebuke Peter for getting out of the boat. He rebuked him for the lack of faith that he had because he allowed his surroundings to dictate where he was. And there's going to be a lot of times as you're going through the trials of your life where things are going to be going around you, where it looks like it is so scary, thinking, "How am I going to get out of this storm?" But my friends, you've got to focus on Christ. You cannot allow storms to overtake you. You cannot allow yourself to take your eyes off the one who will deliver you. I believed would never, never forget experience with the Lord. And what, as I studied this passage, I believe this passage is a foreshadowing of when Peter denied Christ. Because as Jesus began to pick Peter out of that water, he's saying, Peter, I will always be with you. I will always be there to pick you back up. There are always times where you're going to act like you're sinking. But don't forget this experience. And as Peter denied Christ three times, when he felt like that life was over, Christ was there that morning as they were cooking breakfast when Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? I'm reminded of Martin Luther is one of the giants in the faith. Martin Luther, though, had a moment in his life where he was so broken over his sins. He felt like that he was in a storm, and he couldn't get his head out of the water. Martin Luther went to bed that night, and he had a dream. And in that dream, he saw a chalkboard. And all of a sudden, as he looked at that chalkboard, he saw the sins that he had committed row by row. Martin Luther began to shudder in fear, thinking, God, how forgive me? How can this be? How can you be eternal life? I don't deserve it. All I see is what I see in front of me. I see the sin I've committed. And all of a sudden, when Martin began to think it was over, all of a sudden he saw a pierced hand. And in that pierced hand, blood began to flow that washed all of Martin Luther's sins away. The good news this morning is that Christ is there to pick you up. And for some of you this morning, you're saying, God, save me. And that means spiritually, you may be here this morning and you never had a relationship with Christ. And you're saying, Jesus, save me. I am lost. And I know that I'm in hell. And I need you. Thank God that my friend was a Christian. On a regular day, he thought he was going to get up and go to work. He dropped a heart attack. For some of you here this morning, you are crying out for God to do something in your marriage, or to do something in your son or daughter's life, or your grandchildren. And you're saying, God, save me, or save them. And God is looking down and saying, here I am. All you've got to do is take me by the hand and trust me. Trust me. God is wanting you to do that this morning. He wants you to see Him in your storm this morning. And as you see Him in the storm this morning, Lord, save me. I need you. Would you bow your head with me this morning? I said this morning, maybe your cry this morning, Lord, save me, is literally that very question. Lord, save me spiritually. Save me from my sins. We will all one day stand before a holy God. And God will say, do you know the Son, Jesus? We allow the storms of our life to keep us from following Christ. But we must place our faith in Him, regardless of what's going on around us. Maybe this morning you're going through the trials of your life and you are a Christian and you're saying, Lord, save me. Cry out to Him this morning and take a hold of His hand. Maybe this morning you're thinking to yourself and you've been praying and you think, today's the day that I want to place my life in this church and for God to use me. Come alongside these brothers and sisters at Mimosa Baptist Church and say, I want to be a part of this church. As we stand just a few seconds, there are going to be ministers here at the altar. And if God is calling you out to get out of your boat and come to Christ, then you're out of the boat and you come forward and take the minister by the hand and saying, I'm praying this morning, Lord, save me from my sins. I'm placing my faith. For some here this morning, maybe you wanting to come here and just pray at this altar, either individually or as a family. Get out of the boat and trust Christ. Heavenly Father, this morning we come to You asking, Lord, for You to reveal Yourself to us in the storm. God, I pray right now, Your people are thinking about what they need to do this morning. I pray that we would be obedient. For those here this morning that need to make a decision to follow You, Lord, help them not to remain in the boat. Help them to step out and come to You. And it's in Your precious holy name that I pray. Amen.